Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good. Thanks for waiting on the line there. It's nice to speak to you. I saw your face on glued to a wall. I was walking around in town and I saw your face on a poster for Move On.
Oh, this was the panel on homelessness.
That's right. How did it go on Friday?
Very interesting indeed, yeah.
Yeah, would we need any takeaways?
Pardon?
Any sort of takeaways from the event?
Oh, well, I mean, it was very clear from what was outlined, especially by Max Harris, that there's no meaningful policy involved in this, giving power to arrest. It is simply a vote catcher. Any essential powers already exist.
Yeah.
The only additional power it would give would, in any effect, be to arrest for begging. And that's an astounding addition to illegality.
That's really bizarro. You know, it's like, yeah, they're sort of making out like the police were helpless if someone was being violent or whatever before. It's just simply not the case. And anyway, it's not what we're talking about today, but I did see that you were speaking on that, so I wondered how it went.
Yes. But the topic I've got for today is incredibly timely.
Yeah.
Because we're coming to the end of the month of Ramadan. And, of course, the war in Iran has been raging exactly through the month of Ramadan.
Yeah, possibly not by coincidence, eh?
There may be no coincidence in that. Some have speculated that Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic year, and it was, at least depending on how you count it, the 11th day of the month in which the Israelis and the US launched their attack. Which could be, you know, a deliberate retaliation for what happened in 9/11 in the USA.
Mm.
But that is pure speculation.
Yes.
So you wouldn't put somebody like Donald Trump to do such a thing.
Yeah.
What I think is really interesting to ponder is the way in which the Ramadan story plays out for Muslims in countries that are facing tremendous the difficult circumstances across the Middle East, not just Iran, as we get to the end of Ramadan.
Yeah, so has there been... So all these people are enduring... Not enduring, but, you know, they're undertaking Ramadan while they're being attacked, and so they're having to be kind of, you know... I can't imagine it's an easy time during the day, especially when you're not allowed to eat or anything like that, and... Mm-hmm. You know, you're probably not in the best position to be kind of
precisely
staying.
Yeah. So they fast from sunrise to sundown.
Yeah.
And so they're really quite exhausted during the day. And given that they're probably not getting great deal of sleep, especially in some countries during the night, it must be, it increases tensions enormously.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
The sad thing about it is, I mean, the rules of Ramadan are that if you keep Ramadan and you fast and you observe the various other things, no sex, no smoking, etc., that you're going to be uniquely blessed and you become a person. This is the month in which if you are charitable to somebody, the blessings are increased a thousandfold. So there is a strong exhortation on a generous spirit to the Islamic poor that happens really anywhere in the Islamic lands and in New Zealand too. We would see the same. And so it's a cruel irony to pose a war in these circumstances. When forgiving their enemies is part of what is expected of Muslims in Ramadan.
Right. Oh, gosh.
And we're reaching the climax because the Night of Power is coming up on... Now, I think I haven't seen confirmation of when Ramadan began in New Zealand, but presumably it's... I think it is Tuesday, possibly Wednesday. the last day of Ramadan is Thursday, and then there is the Eid celebrations where they come off the fast regulations on Friday. So then there's tremendous celebrations, as you can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, interesting. Although in some places not much to celebrate right now. But it's got to be really fascinating to know what sort of the, you know, how it's being, how Ramadan is being implicated or, you know, celebrated. What's the word? Kind of observed, I suppose, during all of this stuff.
Observed, because it's a very serious time.
Yeah.
In which saying the prayers and keeping the various regulations is very, very important. So there's consequences, if you get it right, that you'll receive blessings from God. It's very, very tough when these things happen. And where you feel like you're in a contradictory state. Now, there's the promise that all past sins of a fasting person will be forgiven, that the gates of heaven will be opened, all good deeds are increased 70 times. So there's a deep sense of the blessings of Ramadan, but how could you observe it during wartime?
Yeah, this is just...
It seems almost impossible that it could really, really take place. The story about Ramadan is it is commemorating the revelation of the Quran to Muhammad.
Okay.
So this is the time when God began to speak to Muhammad. Although, obviously, the whole of the Quran could not be written in one moment, but the night of power, which is coming up,
right,
this is the night on which he had an immediate revelation of the beginnings of the words of the Quran, which were then, it would seem, gradually revealed to 610 in our calendar when he had the revelation in the cave. And then gradually the Surat were revealed to him in subsequent years, over the next 23 years.
Oh, is Surat, S-I-R-A-T, and A has a grav or whatever it's called?
I'm having difficulty hearing you. So,
did you say Surat?
Yes. So a Surat is a chapter, in effect.
Right. Oh, there's a new movie out that's very powerful with that name.
And
I wasn't sure what it was referencing.
Oh,
it is the answer, yeah. I can't say too much about it, what it's about, but it's father.
You've seen the title.
I've seen it, but it's one of those ones best seen blind. But it's a father looking for his daughter who's missing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a really incredible movie. Difficult watch, though. Excuse me.
So, on the night of power, it's so profound a moment that Muslims are expected, faithful Muslims, are expected not to sleep, that they should stand in prayer during the night of power out of belief and seeking for reward. And that's the moment when all your previous sins are forgiven.
Wow.
If you keep this. So I don't know how one could possibly observe that. In the present context,
yeah.
I just do not know.
But it's such a... But that's the thing, is it's such a seriously... It's so taken so seriously, you know, I think... we, as in me, are used to religious people kind of being fairly casual about their religion in my sphere, you know. Just kind of like, that's my belief, I think, yes. Whereas, you know, in a place where it's so strict like Iran, like, I think probably it's mandatory, I'm sure.
This is an interesting way in which different religions vary. But for Jews... Similarly with Muslims, and to some extent Catholics, but perhaps more so Orthodox. So religions that have a strong sense of the power of ritual place all their emphasis on following that pattern consistently and expecting that the blessings come through performing the ritual. Right. And that has been as the doorway to the blessing. And while that would probably be criticized by Christianity, tends to have more of an emphasis on a kind of inward heart of your attitude is far more important than the outward performance of any ritual.
Yeah.
But that is certainly not the case in Islam. Yeah. And it's one of the tensions, I think, between Islam and Christianity sometimes.
Yeah. You mean the lack of seriousness, seeming seriousness, or just...
Yes, well, that Christianity is much more forgiving or prepared to overlook or indeed even to authorize, since Jesus himself defied Jewish rituals.
Mm, true.
There is a kind of sense in which Christianity, particularly the Protestant versions, are not too bothered about rituals, not too bothered about breaching the Sabbath, not too bothered about eating before communion or things like that. Whereas all these things matter immensely down to the regulations about food and the like in Islamic tradition.
Mm. Interesting. Well, I wonder. There's so little information coming out, obviously due to multiple things, but it would be interesting to know how that is being handled, I suppose is the word I was looking for before, because it's always, it's always been observed, but how it's being handled there is a really interesting thought.
Yes, I mean, in theory, there are some occasions in which the observance of Ramadan rules can be... you can be excused for them.
Right.
Let me just think if what would be the ground that you might excuse people in a wartime? Physically or mentally ill people, travellers, women during menstruation, women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, elderly people, and children who have not reached puberty. Nothing at all. No exemption for people in war.
Interesting. I might have to do some Googling of my own and see if I can find out any information or, about people's personal experiences.
And see, there's a very particular aspect of this that plays out in Iran, which I think I mentioned when we were talking about the Ayatollah, that in Shia Islam, the commemoration of the death of Ali, the successor, the last relation of Muhammad to hold power, and he was assassinated while praying in the month of Ramadan, and that date passed to the last week, and that is of course a shocking date for Shia Islam, when the treachery of other Muslims against the true successor, as they see it, of Muhammad was reached its climax. And, in that context, it makes some sense when you understand why they would attack Sunni Muslims at this time.
Yeah, we'll kind of get them when it hurts the most, I suppose, that was the plan.
Yes, there's an element of justice which they will see being played out.
I don't know, I just used the word plan, but I don't think they really have a plan. I think it was more of a...
I don't think anybody has a plan, unfortunately.
No.
It's just how many people, how angry do you feel today?
yeah, that's right. I didn't even really get distracted by the Oscars. That's how angry I am today.
Yes, that's right. Now, that's a significant thing.
I know.
The Oscars have not lifted the human spirit.
I know. Oh, dear. Well... thank you very much, Peter. You always have a way of lifting the human spirit, even if the topics we're talking about are tricky ones. So I appreciate it. I know there's a lot of people out there who appreciate your time and energy that you give us. So I really do appreciate it. So we will speak again next week.
Very good. Look forward to it.
With thanks. And if either of us hear any, read anything throughout the week, we can come and report back next week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Peter. See you.
Good.
Bye-bye. I've got some DC Maxwell and some Otis Harding for you.